Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Plank Chapel United Methodist Church on this very warm Sunday. We're blessed that you're here to worship with us today. We welcome everyone, including children and young people, where our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. The Church Social Directory 2026 is ready. Copies are available at the back of the sanctuary, so make sure you pick one of those up. We offer special appreciation to Donna Rose McGee, Pat Edwards, Scott Ritchie, and Ryan Rowland for completing this wonderful project. The United Methodist Women in Faith will meet this afternoon, June the 14th at 3 o'clock, to be followed by the New Book Club meeting at 4:15 in the Fellowship Hall, and everyone is invited to attend. Senior Circle meets this Wednesday the 17th at 10 in the Fellowship Hall, so make sure you join that as well. The North Carolina Annual Conference 2026 will be held this week, June the 18th through the 20th, at the Greenville Convention Center in Greenville, North Carolina. Nancy Gustafson, Peggy Hernandez, Christina De Jesus, and Pastor Edgar will be attending from our church this year. Pastor Edgar will lead an acolyte training in the months of June and July, so please contact him for information on this. Miracle Sunday offering raised almost $11,000 from 12 churches in the Heritage District. The current total of the North Carolina Conference commitment is a little over $192,000, so that's a good thing. Are there any other announcements? All right, if you will join me in the call to worship. Raise your voices in response to God's goodness.
We praise you, Lord, for all the blessings you have given us.
Lift your hearts in sweet surrender to God's mercy.
We thank you, O Lord, for hearing the prayers of our hearts.
God is good. Praise be to God.
The love and mercy of God never fails. Amen.
And now join me in the opening prayer. Faithful One, thank you for calling us to worship and for being present among us. Breathe upon us with your Holy Spirit, that we may have the courage and endurance to trust your promises and to answer your call with the same steadfast faithfulness and love that you show to us. For we ask this in the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you'll stand for the gathering hymn, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing, it is found on page 57 in your red hymnal.
My great Redeemer's praise, the glory.
Now let's join in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may all be seated. Good morning, church. What a blessing for us to be gathered on this third Sunday in the season of Pentecost. So thank you for joining us today. And also we'd like to thank you for those that are worshiping with us online. We are equally blessed that you are here with us, worshiping with us. And just put your name on the chat room, and we're more than glad to acknowledge your presence with us. Just seeing everyone here today reminds me of the gift of being together. Amen? And today we're going to be launching this sermon series about better together. Say that with me, church. Better together. It's really better to be together. Amen? And I thank God that we're able to be gathered as people of God. Just think about this for a second. Since 1780, Plank Chapel has never stopped gathering together. Since 1780. We are only 4 or 5 years shy away from the birth of our nation, which will be celebrating 250 years. This church has stood the test of time with all World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the 9/11, Persian Gulf War. We have crossed and navigated in that. And by the grace of God, Plank Chapel stood the test of time, and we're still able to gather together. And that's the heart of God's Word today, because there is a power in gathering together. We will hear more about what God has to say for us today. But I just want to thank you. Thank you, everyone, for choosing to be here today. In the season of Pentecost, you always hear from me, where have we seen God lately since the last time we gathered? This question is not just an invitation for us to ponder and to reflect, but really to acknowledge that God is at work in places where we could not even imagine. So I invite us all to reflect on this question. Where have we seen God at work in our lives lately? Amen. Thanks be to God. We congratulate the boys for doing that. Yes. Thanks be to God. And thank you for joining us online. She is one among those faithful attendees that are connecting with us on their online service. Thank you so much. And we're grateful that you're here with us. Brian?
Wyatt is improving every day. He's a little stubborn, but he's improving every day. I got some news from Karen Driver. Rebuilding Hope is going to build a ramp for her husband. He has had his terminal pancreatic cancer, and he's just not doing well. And then I have a prayer concern, Pastor. Brian Rowland, grandson of Paul and Tini Rowland, almost lost his foot because of diabetes. He had something that happened to his foot, and they had to do surgery on it a couple of times. But they think they got it under control, and they did skin graft, and he's back home. So please pray for Brian. He's got a long way to go.
Brian has been lifted up, and thank you so much. And of course, Karen has been in communication with me about David and what he's been through. I think he's already finished with his radiation, and he is going to get that ramp through the... Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for lifting it up. Yes, Deborah.
And she finally opened her eyes and moved her foot last night, so they know that she's recovering.
Thank God.
And she asked for unspoken prayers for her.
We will. Thank you, Deborah. We will certainly lift them up in prayers. It was a wonderful experience being with John yesterday as I... been there with him. As you all know, we've been constantly visiting him. But this past week has been a tough week for him. He's not able to really engage in conversation. He's now no longer eating what he normally does. And he don't even recognize me or Greg. But when we sang Jesus Loves Me, he began to join with us. He still had that memory through music. So just hold John Rogers in your prayers. He's on that point wherein his health is slowly
he's going and coming. Fading.
Right. Thank you.
And I told him, I said, you need to be in this one. You need to be out on the track. When I got ready to go, he says, I rang a bell, go get to work. So it's kind of going and coming. And the going is long.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I think they already appreciated all the prayers that were lifted up to him. Yes. Thank God. We were so blessed to have you back again, Miss Sally. Any other concerns that we want to pray for? As we come together this morning, as we lift up these prayers, we are all connected together. First and foremost, we are connected in Christ. As we gather together, we lift up all these names for the Lord. Let's pray also for those that have been affected. My homeland, the Philippines, we had a big earthquake there that more than 40, I believe, 40 or 50 people died. So just want to lift that up to God and our community today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are immensely blessed to be here this morning in your holy ground. Thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity for us to be with fellow believers, fellow sinners saved by grace, as what the people said. And we are thankful that your grace and your mercy is upon us. And you know the yearning for love that rests in each and every one of us. That deep yearning and longing to belong. To become part of this beautiful Christian community that you called us to be part of. So this morning, Father God, help us to love one another even when hatred and anger are well within us. Bring us peace and patience even when restlessness and enmity fill our hearts. Inspire us to live with generosity of spirit when we are immersed in self-centered thoughts and selfish actions. Shower us with joy and hope when fear and despair are all around us. Bear your fruits in our lives through the power of your grace and forgiveness, that we may be children of your spirit, living by the power and following where you lead. In gratitude and in trust, we lift up all these joys and concerns in our hearts as we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, who invites and calls us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, hear now these words of assurance. If we live by the Spirit, we will be guided by the Spirit. And guided by the Spirit, we are children of the Spirit, healed by God's love and blessed by Christ's grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Just as we have received God's peace through Christ Jesus, so now we are invited to offer God's peace to one another through the grace and love of Christ Jesus. So I invite us all to share that peace that God offered to us and we are promised to offer to one another. And you can do it in whatever you feel comfortable. You can wave your hands or handshake to each other. The offering of gifts of tithes and offering has always been an invitation for us from God. That it's an expression of saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gifts of your generosity in our lives. The gifts of healing, the gifts of answering prayers, the gifts of relationships. So whenever we give our tithes and offering, we just want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you because we cannot outgive you. In our own little way, we want to bring back what you have first given to us. So as we invite our ushers to come forward, may that be our prayer today. Let us come as we offer our gifts and tithes at this time. Our generous God, we thank you for you already gave to us the greatest gift of all, and that giving of your own very own Son, your one and only Son, as an atoning sacrifice so that we may have new life. Out of our praise and worship to you, we offer these gifts of tithes and offering. Accept this, O God, in furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing yet another hymn, number 174. You may all be seated. Before we do our prayer for elimination, I just want to stress again how much I really appreciate the team that have worked hard to make our social directory completed. So, Ms. Donald Rose, thank you. And Ryan Rowland is not here, but Scott is here. He put a lot of efforts into bringing that together, as well as Ms. Pat Edwards. So please, after the service, make sure you grab a copy of that social directory. Again, they're not membership directory. This is a social directory, which means that those that are actively engaged in the life of the church are included in that, including anniversaries and birthdays are also in that directory. So that's very helpful information as we strengthen the body of Christ here at Plank Chapel. Please join with me for the prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us come to this Word open to being surprised. Silence our agendas, banish our assumption, cast out our casual detachment, confound our expectation, clear the cobwebs from our ears, penetrate the corners of our hearts with this Word. We know that you can. We pray that you will. And we wait with great anticipation. Amen. Today our word is taken from the two important verses from the New Testament. First is found on Hebrews chapter 10. And the other is in Acts chapter 2. These are short verses, but packs a lot of meaning. And as we dwell on this topic of gathering together. So, if you have your Bible with you, I invite us all to open. And also for those worshiping with us online, you are also invited as well. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. First on Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And moving on Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Indeed, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to begin by saying these words, that there is an epidemic of loneliness and isolation in our world today. According to the World Health Organization, in 2025, nearly one in six people globally report feeling lonely. Among adolescent and young adult, as well as people living in low-income countries, the rate is even higher, end of quote. According to the U.S. Surgeon General, when he wrote this article in 2023, he says like this, loneliness is far more than just bad feeling. It harms both individual and societal health. It is associated with greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day, even greater than that associated with obesity and physical inactivity. The survey have found that approximately half of the United States adults report experiencing loneliness, with some of the highest rates among young adults, end of quote. I don't think this is an act, this is up there in surveys, because when we did our Connect Church survey in 2024, and some of those in the Connect Church members are here, the challenges of loneliness and isolation came out on the top list of the most pressing needs or challenges in this community. So this is not a survey. This is not on a list that is on the top desk that is not trickling down to the grassroots. It affects even Bobbitt and Kittrell communities. And this is compounded by the pandemic, aging population, the disconnection from the church and community life. I'm sure you know someone right now, right at this moment, who is lonely, who is socially disconnected. One in the Awakenings members reminded us this morning that you can be in a crowd of people and still feel lonely. Have we been there, church? We can be in the midst of so many people and yet feel socially disconnected. So this morning we're starting a sermon series called Better Together. In a world where loneliness and social disconnection are invisible threats to our well-being and to the very fabric of our communities, the call for togetherness among believers is more crucial than ever. As Christians, our faith is not just a personal journey, but a collective experience that thrives on togetherness. So I hope that for the next 10 weeks, we will have a better understanding of what the Bible says about togetherness, not just an option, not just a choice, but a mandate, a divine imperative for us as followers of Christ. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our hearts and penetrates into the very core of our being this morning as we are being challenged by your word, so that I will be out of your way and may you be the one to speak. And may the words of my mouth, the meditation in our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight. You as a rock and a redeemer. Amen. Don't we all love to gather together? Whether it's a birthday or weddings or anniversaries or reunion or any other special occasions. When I was growing up in the Philippines, we loved to gather together in homes, in churches, in parks. I remember my mom always welcoming people at home, cooking food, inviting friends on big occasions such as Christmas and holidays and New Year's. We also make it a habit to always gather together every Sunday. That's why I think I share this with you all. I have to be dragged to the church and to be there week after week. So it became a habit for me to be in the church. And I saw that here in my 26 years of ministry, churches coming together for potlucks, anniversaries, vacation Bible school, choir, small groups, Sunday school classes, women's group, men's breakfast. The call to gather together as a Christian community becomes even more vital. Therefore, why is it important? What is the Bible telling us about gathering together? What makes it imperative rather than an option? What makes it a divine requirement for us as followers of Jesus? Well, I'm going to walk with you briefly on some of the answers from the scriptures about this question as to why it's important to gather together. First, gathering together is rooted in the teachings of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18:20, Jesus states, "For where two or three are gather together in my name. Listen to that. Gather together in my name. There am I with them. It came from the very heart and the very call of Jesus, who underscored the significance of gathering in his name. This is not somebody like a request or Jesus telling us to have an option. This is a mandate for us to gather together. Because the church, after all, is the gathered people. It is not a building. Though we love to be inside the building, but we are the church. The Bible never uses the word church associated with the building. In fact, the word church in Greek word means ekklesia, which means the assembled ones or the ones gathered together. So the very word of the word ekklesia, it means the gathering of the people together. And it was further strengthened when we were in the pandemic. If you all remember that, there was one time I was just be by myself, and there's a cell phone right in front, and it was kind of weird to worship without any physical body right in front of you. And I remember right here at Plank Chapel, somebody told me that they have to put some dolls in it. When Pastor Carolyn was here, I think they did it in other churches. They put some stuffs to kind of supply those missing live people during that time. So that's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. The meaning of really church is all about the gathered people. It's never been connected to the building. It's a community brought together by one thing we hold in common: a relationship with God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That binds us together. That glues us together. That no matter what happened, when the tide sweeps us all, when there's some internal conflicts happening, we are fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what the church is. The gathered people of God. And that is rooted in the teaching of Jesus when he said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I with them. But not only gathering together is rooted in the teaching of Jesus, but also gathering together is for our own spiritual nourishment through worship. Remember those moments when you were growing up, and perhaps some of you can still recall what you have heard from your pastors 20, 30 years ago. What you have learned from your Sunday school teachers 40 years ago. What you have learned from your mentors. Teachers that have come alongside with you in the formation of your spiritual growth. And that will not happen if you have not been actively engaged in worshiping together, in hearing God's word, in being able to connect in this body of Christ called the church. When we unite in songs, in prayers, in teaching, we're not only honoring God, but also it strengthens our own spiritual bonding together. Worshiping together has been shown to have a deeper connection. The more we come to church, the more we deepen our connection with God and with each other. That's why Hebrew chapter 10 says, not to forsake what? The assembling of ourselves together. This is not just a mere recommendation, but a divine command for us to be gathered together. Well, Pastor, I can worship myself in a couch and sitting right there and watching the TV and hearing Charles Stanley. Have you heard that excuse before? We heard it many times. I love Dr. David Jeremiah. I love Dr. Charles Stanley. I love the church, the Baptist church down there in Raleigh. But the question for us, what is one thing that we're missing? physically gathering together. Nothing replaced the coming together. Amen? No matter how we take this, no matter how important online service, and for those of you worshiping with us online, thank you. We don't discount the fact that you are being fed and being nourished by listening to God's word today. But equally important is the gathered people of God. I don't say this with saying an either or. I would say both and. And that's what we've been doing. And thank God that some of you are able to be physically with us. Some of you, because of distance, you may not be able to be physically with us. And that's okay. But what the Bible's telling us is the importance of being gathering together. Being nourished through worship. And not only that, gathering together also fosters discipleship and growth. Because the church is more than a place for worship. It's a place for us to be nurtured. And I like our new women's group called the Coffee Corner and the one that we're having this afternoon, the new book club. The men's group, the women's group that meets in the afternoon. Those are just places where we foster discipleship and growth. And those, nothing can be replaced if we are just hunkering down ourselves for whatever reasons and stop coming to church. Gathering together significantly enhances our mental, emotions, and spiritual health. Did you know that the more you come to church, the more you get healthy? That's not just Pastor Edgar thing. It's a research that's been found across the board. Across the board, research reveals that face-to-face interactions have been scientifically proven to improve mental health, reduce stress, and even lower the risk of dementia. Think about that for a second. That just by you being here and engaging yourselves in the communal worship life, you have already contributed in diminishing any risk for your well-being, any risk for a possibility of dementia. And that's a gift. It is a gift from God. When we gather, we create a space for laughter and support and crying each other and sharing experiences that uplift our spirits and deepen our connection with God. We set aside our differences and see the bigger picture of unifying ourselves under our common mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith in action. And finally, when we gather together as a Christian community, we bear witness to the world around us. Acts chapter 2 practices that, exemplifying that practice. They broke bread together, they ate together. They ate meals primarily Eucharistic, but that's beside the point. The point is that they were doing life together. This is significant because the context of the book of Acts, they were in crisis moments. They didn't know what's going to happen to them. They were under persecution. They have some internal strife happening within, inside and outside. And yet, they decided to stick together and glue together. Because there's something that holds them far even bigger than what divides them. And this is significant because there are times in churches where we have our own individual preferences. But what binds us together is our bigger mission. Setting aside our own individual preferences over a bigger purpose. And that is to unify ourselves to be the church. And what is important to note here is that the Acts church is also resisting the challenges of a Roman Empire that is very self-centered, institutional-based, and domineering and exploitative in nature. Rather than following Rome that takes away what people need, this community shares to everyone what they have. And share this and distributed the wealth to make others more have an equitable life and opportunities. Isn't that what we're doing here at Plank Chapel Church? Isn't that what the blessing box is and Project Be a Blessing? Isn't that what the work of the Methodist women are doing, the United Women in Faith, the man putting up the handicap ramp? And I can go on and on. When we gather together, we bear witness to the world around us. Friends, since 1780, as I've said, this church has stood the test of time. We've been gathering together in the name of Jesus. Amen? And God will continue on to guide us for the next 250 years. As we reflect on God's word today, I invite us all to consider all the many blessings of a gathered people of God brings. Make it a habit to come every Sunday. Make it a habit to find coming to Sunday a wellspring of your renewal for your own benefit and for your sake and for the sake of your relationship with God. And through collective worship, we not only grow in our relationship with God, but we also grow in unity as the body of Christ, fulfilling the mission. Let's choose to gather together and embrace the profound power of being together as we walk on this journey of faith. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for calling us, inviting us back to the meaning and purpose of what the church is, that it's all about gathered people of God. Thank you, God, for convicting our hearts this morning and for modeling this through the practice of early church. That no matter how difference they have come to unify themselves in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we go forth from this place, O Lord, help us to make it a habit to gather together, to be in worship, to be in Sunday school classes and Bible studies, and all different ways on how we can be nurtured and be cultivated in our Christian walk with God. And may we be able to pass it on to the next generation that will come after us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In line with this whole meaning of what church is, we're going to sing a very familiar hymn, number 558. And we have a little instruction here. We're going to sing Miss Janet on this. So we're going to sing first the whole first, and then we'll move to the first verse. We're going to sing all the five verses and then come back again to the chorus. So let's stand. If you're able, we're going to sing We Are the Church, number 558. The church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. Sometimes the church is marching, sometimes it's bravely burning, sometimes it's riding, sometimes hiding, always it's learning. And when the people gather, they're singing and they're praying, they're clapping and they're crying. We express our deepest gratitude for all of us that were able to join with us in person here, and also those that are able online. Next Sunday, we're going to have our Father's Day, and also we're going to be having a reception to some of our newest members of Christ Church here at Plank Chapel. So I hope you'll be able to join with us next week again as we gather as people of God. Indeed, the Word of God challenged us never to miss the opportunity of the power of gathering together. The collective experiences of all of us here brings together the joy and lifts us our spirits up. But most importantly, it's a way for us to glorify God. As we go forth from this place, may we continue to embrace the gift of worship, the gift of being the church, the gathered people of God. May we tell that to all of our children and grandchildren and all the generations that comes after us. May we embrace a life that is centered in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit pierce in our hearts now and forevermore. Amen.